Blog Talk Radio.
Of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. Hey, so glad you could join us on this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on the East Coast and 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. Just before we get going, if you want to call in, please feel free to be my guest at 914-205-5527. That's 914-205-5527. Today, we're talking about principles for healing our nation. I wanted to talk about that today because, I mean, if you're really paying attention to, you know, what's happening in the country, surely you have some concerns about where we are, where we're going. And then, of course, we ask the question, what can we do, if anything, about what's happening in the country in terms of our division, in terms of, you know, the fact that I believe that the country is sick, you know, the soul of the country, you know, we're just, again, a divided country. People are just pitting one after another. And so we have so many problems. And so today, again, we want to address this issue by talking about principles for healing our nation. So the United States of America is seriously divided, and I believe that is for a myriad of reasons, but here is the sad part. There seems to be no help for healing in sight. And then I ask the question, how do we, my friends, how do we come together as a hurting people? I mean, how do we do it? We talk about it all the time. If you turn on the TV and look at some of the top cable shows, I am sure that of all the shows that you will listen to, somebody is talking about how we can come together and how we can heal this land. You know, what has to happen for America to heal? I've asked myself that, you know, and I'm no genie, but I am a Christian. I am a man of faith. I do believe in the Holy Scriptures. And if you notice in my little shows here, I haven't really talked a lot about my faith. I haven't talked a lot about, you know, the Scriptures, the Bible, because when I started to do this, I wanted to just have a balanced approach to things. I didn't want this to be an exclusive show about the Bible, about the Scriptures, although I live by a Christian worldview, but I just wanted to just be able to talk about things sometimes without necessarily having to reach into my reservoir of biblical knowledge and, you know, my Christian roots and things like that, because some things I don't have to even turn to the Bible to know what's going on. But, you know, for today, I said, you know what, if we're going to talk about healing the nation, let's take a look at it. You know, think about it. We have tried everything. We've tried politics. We've tried government. We've tried people. You name it, we've tried it. And here we are in the 21st century, 2021, and we are still a broken people that needs to be healed. So the question is, what do we need in order to heal this great country of ours? Well, I'll tell you this. We need a power much greater than any earthly solution to bring us together and to mend our broken hearts. I can tell you that. We definitely need that. So, hey, if you got some ideas and solutions, I'd love to hear them. Hey, again, that's area code 914-205-5527. But, you know, as I look at the Scriptures, You know, there's a scripture that we quote often whenever there's trouble. You know, in the church, we quote it, and it's from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it goes like this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. So notice that particular condition there. And let me just say, because the one thing that I've learned, you know, through my seminary training and things like that, whenever I approach the scripture, I always try to make sure that I understand and interpret the scriptures in the correct way. You know, that's what the Bible talks about, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'll just tell you up front that even though we quote that scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, I do want to say up front that scripture and that context applies to the nation of Israel. However, I think that there are principles there that can certainly apply in the circumstances that we find ourselves in here in America. So I think for the Christian church in America, that is maybe a passage of scripture that we can look at and ask ourselves, why is it that our country is, you know, soul sick? You know, why is it that there's a lot of immorality that goes on in America? Why is it that there is so much ungodliness that's allowed to happen? Even in government, you know, where we're passing a lot of laws and policies that are totally against the clear teaching of scriptures. And we think about that. And so, for example, God appears to be holding the church accountable and responsible for a lot of things that takes place in the culture. So, for example, that scripture that I just quoted, the nation of Israel, you know, they were in a time where a lot of things around them was going awry, and a lot of it was due to Israel's rebellion against God. Remember, God had to chastise Israel on a number of occasions, and God chastised her very harshly at times. Okay, but he loved her because he was in covenant with her, all right? And yet, the nations around her, a lot of the things happen, and God says, the reason they're happening is because I am very displeased with you. And I want to say this, America has been blessed by God without a doubt, but I'm talking about the Christian church. I'm not talking about America. I'm not even claiming that America is this sold-out Christian nation, but I do know that the founding of our nation was founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic, okay? So I do know that. So our nation was founded on that philosophy, and I know that God has blessed us, and I also know that he's blessed us because of our relationship with his covenant people, the nation of Israel. And because the way that we've treated Israel historically, God has blessed our country. But when we talk about the church in America, the Christian church in America, I believe that it is quite possible that the reason why we're seeing a lot of the turmoil that we're seeing has to do with judgment of the church. And for example, I was reading earlier in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, another familiar passage that says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And then Peter later goes on further to say, now, if judgment begins at the house of God, he goes on to say, what will the end be for those who obey not the gospel? So if God is lowering the hammer on the church of Jesus Christ here in America, then what is going to be the result, the end results of people who don't even know him, who don't have any desire to know him, and that includes even our government? because we know there are a lot of people in our government, I mean, at the federal level, at our local state levels, who have no clue as to who God is and who his son Jesus is. And so that's a passage that we need to consider when we look at, when we're trying to answer the question why things are like they are. And then there's something else. The Church of the Living God, the Bible says something as it relates to prayer that I think that is applicable to what we see in the world today and in our country in particular. So in James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Okay? The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. All right? So that means that when God's people come together to pray, that God will move on behalf of the church because his people have come together to pray. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So if the world is in the shape that it is in, and America, if we're in the bad shape that we're in, what does that say about the Christian church in America? It says to me that perhaps we're not praying the way that we should be praying. And so I want to encourage you that. Now, there's another passage in Psalm 33. I want to read just a couple of verses, although there are other verses that apply. In verses 10 through 12 in Psalm 33, you got to hear this. Listen to this. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. Okay? In fact, let me go back and read verse 8. The psalmist says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Then it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. You see how good that is? Well, it's amazing. So the psalmist is telling us that all the earth should fear the Lord. So even here in America, there used to be a day when there was a healthy respect for the things of God. That doesn't mean that every American was a Christian, right? You know, whenever you read about these so-called pollings and, you know, polls, I've read where they talk about there's over 80%, 85% of the American population is Christian. Now, listen, you have to know that that isn't true. And what is true is that a lot of people identify as Christian because of their family heritage. Okay, in other words, if somebody was, say, born and raised and their background was Catholic, somebody would say, okay, I'm Christian because my family was a part of the Catholic Church, but they themselves don't necessarily have faith in the Lord Jesus. And by the way, since I am a Christian, and I am a Christian from the biblical sense of the word, to be a Christian is to be a person who has personally invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, okay? So you don't get to become a Christian by your pedigree. So in other words, just because you had Christian people in your family, that doesn't automatically assign you the title of being a Christian. You become a Christian when you've been born again of the Spirit of God, okay? So I just want to make sure that you understand where I'm coming from. I don't speak of being a Christian because I had Christian people in my family, and I had Christian people in my family on both sides of my family tree, on my mother's side as well as my father's side. But I can assure you that I did not become a Christian automatically just because I had grandparents on both sides that were Christians. I had to come down the same road that everybody else came down who became a Christian, and that is the Romans road. in which Paul speaks about what it takes or what it requires to become a Christian. And so I had to invite Jesus Christ into my heart by believing that he is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross to pay for my sins and to pay my sin debt, and that the Father accepted that payment. And as proof of that fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, and by faith, I asked him to come into my heart, into my life. And from that moment, years ago, I've been attempting to walk with him every single day, although I must say that obviously I'm not perfect, and I shall never reach the point of perfection in this lifetime, but I can say without a doubt now that I have the full blessed assurance that if I were to die today, that I would be in the presence of the Lord, all right? So I just want you to understand where I'm coming from, that people are not Christians just because they have a background through family pedigree, okay? So I want to get to what we're talking about today. So my friends, how do we bring healing? Well, let me just say, we can't do it. So God is going to have to be the one. He's going to have to be the one to do it. Now, I think the only way that we can heal is that, let me tell you what's going to happen. We as a nation are going to have to trust in the Lord. We're going to have to trust in God. And let me tell you why God is worth trusting in. Let me tell you why that it pays to trust in him. First of all, I think verse 4 in Psalm 33 gives us the answer. You know what it says in verse 4? It says this: for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is trustworthy. Think about that. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is trustworthy. So I believe that a nation, a country, we should put our trust in God, because he has all the right answers. See, I think that one of the issues is, if we look at the way our government is set up, you know, we are a nation. We know that primarily we have, you know, Democrats and Republicans. So everybody here knows that one of the issues is we don't trust each other, okay? And because we have different ideologies, we have different ways of looking at things, I think to a large degree, both sides mean well, but we just see the world differently. And so we don't trust one another. And so consequently, we put too much of ourselves in the way, and we never get anything worthwhile done. So what does that mean? That means we have to get out of the way. So how do you get out of the way? Well, you get out of the way by allowing God to have his way. And so what you have to do is that you have to learn to trust God instead of trusting yourselves. So Psalm 33, verse 4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is trustworthy. So if only we can get our politicians and our government officials to get themselves out of the way, and if they can learn to put their trust in the God who created government in the first place, I think we could start the process of healing as a nation. Now, here's another thing that we can consider in terms of how do we learn to heal. This here has to do, in America, we always talk about love, don't we? You hear that all the time. People really don't know what love is. They don't even know how to extend love to one another. Listen, in verse 5 of this psalm, in verse 5, listen to this. In verse 5, it says, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. So America should trust in God because he is so full of love for all of us. If we could stop for a moment and stop being so caught up in our selfish kind of love and just ponder and consider the love that God has for each of us, I promise you that that would make a difference in our lives and in our nation, where it would teach us how to love one another in the proper way. If we could embrace the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But take that love, the highest form of love that man would ever know is the very love of God, that agape love, okay? And so if as a nation, if we could just put our trust in God because he is so full of love for each of us, I have no doubt that could start this whole process of teaching us how to love one another. I don't care whether you're black or white, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant. I don't care whether you're male or female, whatever you are. If we could embrace the love of God and allow that love to just saturate our nation, we will find that healing will start to take place. All right? Amen out there? All right. So think about it. So Psalm 33, I think, is a key, because I'm telling you, you and I need a power greater than ourselves. Listen, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote a book entitled Strength to Love. Listen, do you know what that book was about? Dr. King, during the civil rights struggle, when he was fighting hard, you know, to fight for the, you know, to really to remind this great nation of ours to live up to her promise to treat all men equally, regardless to their nationality or to their ethnicity, to their skin color. You know, when he was reminding that, you know, we know what happened, that a lot of the people, you know, of color, they were beaten up. They were, some of them were being even attacked by dogs. They were hosed down by power water hoses. I mean, the list goes on and on. And Dr. King wrote a book entitled Strength to Love. And you know what he was talking about? He was talking about the strength that can only come from Almighty God that would help a person to love his enemies. Because remember what Jesus says. He says, love them that hate you. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is humanly impossible, literally humanly impossible. You cannot love people that hate you and that wants to do you harm. And so you need a strength greater than what you are able to muster. And so if we as a nation could embrace this great truth in Psalm 33, verse 5, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. If we could embrace that, if we could trust the Lord in that, he would show us not only how to love him, but how to love our fellow man. And I think that could start the healing process. But there's something else, too. Looking at this, and I alluded to it because I talked about a strength, a power greater than us. In verses 6 to 9, I won't read all of that, but it talks about the fact that the heavens were made by the word of the Lord and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. And then it goes on to say some other things, okay? For he spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. So, listen, as a nation, if we could trust God because he is all powerful, in other words, the problems that we have, that we think that are insurmountable, that we think that we cannot overcome, if we could just put our trust in God, starting from our president, our vice president, from our U.S. Congress, our United States Senate, you know, going all the way down to our government, to our local state government, our governor, and all of those people, all the way down to the local citizens. If we could understand that we have a God who is on our side and he is all powerful, And if we could put our trust in him, my dear friend, if we could do that, that could start the process of healing in America. But as long as I think I'm all powerful and I have all the answers, and as long as it's about me and my agenda and my wanting to control government and control people's lives for the rest of my life, as a lot of the politicians wants to do, is that they want to be in charge, and they want their respective parties to always be in control in Washington. As long as you have that attitude, we will never be at peace with one another. So if we could put our trust in God and realize that he is all powerful and he's in control because he's sovereign, we could start the healing process. Now, let me be clear about something. He is all powerful. He is sovereign. So ultimately, he has control anyways, whether I think I'm relinquishing it to him or not, because if not, he will have the last say anyways. And then finally, what I want to say, we should put our trust in God, because you know why? As I just read, do you know God can mess up your plans? Let me read that one more time in verses 10 and 11. The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. So just in case you didn't think he was all powerful, the psalmist reminds you and me that God can frustrate your plans. And I need the president to hear that. I need the vice president to hear that. I need Congress and both houses of Congress to hear that. I need every governor to hear that. I need every state senate to hear that, every state assembly to hear that. I need every mayor to hear that. I need every citizen that make up this country to hear that God can mess up your plans and my plans. So those who don't respect God can get frustrated by God, because he can mess the plans of a nation, and he has done it. And he can mess up the plans of a family or a person. And as I'm saying, he can mess up your plan. So when we decide to trust God with our plans, and by aligning our plans with his plans, guess what God will do? God will protect plans for a long time. And you know what he'll do? He'll protect people for generations. And so America will be blessed if we will trust God with his plans and with our plans. Okay? So I you know, when I thought about this, I'm like, you know, Lord, people need to understand something here. We are never going to see healing. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care who the president is. President Biden is not going to be president forever. That one day there's going to be another Republican president. And then after that, there's going to be another Democratic president. And then after that, there's going to be another Republican president. And then after that, there's going to be another Republican president. And that cycle will continue to go on and on and on. We think that the key to peace and harmony is depending on who's in the White House. Well, haven't you lived long enough to see both parties in power? And we're still not at peace with one another. The only way that a nation can be at peace is that, as the psalmist says, blessed, I love it. He says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. America, who is your God? If it's not the God of the Holy Scriptures, then we have the wrong God. So this is the Voice of Reason talk show. Until the next time, this is Wayne Cooper. May you have a great evening, and I'll see you next time. God bless all of you.